Good afternoon, and I want to thank several of the other members of our team who are here, some of whom are here today, and our funders. And I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. So I just first want to give you just a little background about the Community Asthma Initiative. It was conceived of during sort of the 2003-2004, and asthma, as part of our community needs assessment, was one of four major pediatric concerns in the Boston, among the Boston neighborhoods that we were surveying. Asthma is, I think, was and continues to be the leading cause of hospitalization at Children's Hospital. And 70% of the children hospitalized come from the very close low-income Boston neighborhood. So even though Children's serves, you know, large as a tertiary care center, the kids who come to Children's are for asthma are largely from the poorer neighborhoods of Boston. And the hospitalization rates for African Americans and Latino children is 4 to 5 times that of the rate for white children. So clearly some very significant health disparities. As we know, there are some very significant social determinants of health that underlie these disparities, and one of the most striking ones, certainly in our work, has been the racially segregated and substandard housing, and how much that contributes to the morbidity that we see. As well as other certainly competing demands related to poverty. There's an incredible amount of community violence in Boston at the moment, low health literacy. So those are all contributing factors. We designed the program with activities at all levels of the socio-ecological model. So at the individual and family level, tailored asthma education, home visiting and case management. At the community level, educational workshops, social marketing, community forums. And then at the system and policy level, advocacy for reimbursement for asthma home visiting and home environmental remediation, as well as improvements in environmental conditions in homes and schools and daycares. We also have as a goal promoting best practices, and there are, you know, as many people may know, national guidelines through NIH that really lay out in great detail how to approach asthma management. And component three is control of environmental factors that affect asthma. In particular, they recommend evaluating inhalant allergen and irritant exposure and testing for indoor allergens for people with persistent asthma. From October 1st, 2005 to the end of September, so 6 years, we've enrolled 800 patients. Of those who we enrolled initially, we've conducted home visits, at least one for 76% of those patients and their families. The mean age is a little over 7 years. Very much population pretty much split between Latino and African American. This is despite the fact that we offer the program to people from Boston of all races, but these are the children who are being hospitalized. 25% are primarily Spanish-speaking, and 65% with income less than $25,000, and 71% have Medicaid, and 98% live in some form of subsidized housing. So here you can just see graphically that the enrollments, the blue dots are in the neighborhoods in red, which are 20% or more, families who living below poverty, 20% or more of the population in those neighborhoods. In orange is 15 to 20%. So definitely we're targeting the right families in the right neighborhoods, and we're seeing a lot of challenges in terms of home environmental triggers. 39% of the children had a baseline or sometime during the program allergy testing, and asthma, especially pediatric asthma, is a very allergic, has a very strong allergic component. And, as you can see, lots of indoor allergies. Most kids had, at least more than one, if not all, of those that are listed here. Cat being a very high one, and many families have cats to deal with the animal a little further down, the mice. So it's very challenging when you're trying to convince people to get rid of their cats. And dust mites, 50%, which I find interesting because we had a long debate about, do you give everybody dust mite covers or not for their mattresses? And clearly, this is a population where, if you're exposed to dust mites long enough, there's at least a 50-50 chance you're going to develop an allergy to them, it seems. We do an average of two home visits per family, but as you can see, the range is 1 to 13, and depending on the level of need, the severity of the asthma, the level of engagement of the families, we can be very involved over a long period. And we provide tailored asthma education based on the assessment of the child's asthma control, medication, and adherence counseling. And then we've been speaking for the rest of the time more about the walkthrough visual inspection and the kind of environmental triggers we find. I'm never quite sure what to do with this. First, over 50% of families have a lot of clutter, which leads to a lot of dust. People live in small spaces, no storage room, and often, people are overcrowded and doubling up and things like that. So that's just sort of a given. Many people using very strong cleaners, bleach, and just an epidemic of those air fresheners, the plug-ins, the sprays, the Febreze, the everything, very, very popular. 42%, carpeting is a problem, only if people have allergies, and then, the allergens get sort of embedded in the carpeting that's not well maintained. As I mentioned before, a big problem with mice in Boston. In environmental tobacco smoke exposure, mold, and cockroaches are less actually common, mostly in the public housing developments. So we made the decision, as I mentioned before, to provide all families with the dust mite proof bedding encasements for the mattresses and pillows and box springs, and also to give every family a HEPA vacuum. And even for people with either tile or wood floors, we really recommend vacuuming rather than sweeping, because when you sweep, you sort of stir up a lot of the very fine dust particles with the triggers. We are very strong proponents of integrated pest management, do a lot of teaching with tenants and families about how to do their part in terms of sort of reducing the attraction in their attractions in their home for pests, and trying to work with the landlords around using good IPM techniques to exterminate. We spend a lot of time talking about green cleaning, and so connected to the air fresheners and cleaning products. I have a flyer here that talks about a few of the methods, certainly using very simple ingredients such as white vinegar and water and baking soda, and for people who just can't let go of their air fresheners, some simple lemon and cinnamon, and very simple ways to sort of make your own more natural air fresheners. And then smoke-free housing education and smoking cessation counseling as needed and desired. This is the one of the flyers I was talking about, and you know, people look at the top picture that has all the air fresheners and bleach and everything. Oh my God, I use every one of those products, you know, at the same time. And then just some other simpler, you know, and healthier alternatives. People often ask also about the cost of these interventions, in particular the HEPA vacuum, you know, and does that make it a very expensive program? And, you know, we've, so I just thought I'd throw out some figures. You know, the vacuum, depending on the kind of flooring, you know, with a year of bags and filters is about $130, $180. The mattress and pillow encasements are $50. So, you know, an average for per family of, you know, $200, $230. And then other supplies is needed. Most of them, you know, very inexpensive, some IPM supplies, storage bins for clutter. I mean, we really have taken a very practical approach. What do you need to make your, you know, home environment asthma-friendly? And so we have the flexibility to do that. And then air conditioners, sort of on a case-by-case basis, if someone has a lot of you know, pollen allergies and a lot of severe asthma and hospitalizations related to that. And then if you compare that to the cost of 1 month's worth of controller medications for one family member, it's really quite a bargain because, you know, controller medications, whether it's the, you know, payer paying for it or, you know, families paying high copays, can easily run up to $500 a month. And that's for one person. And if you have multiple family members with asthma, you can imagine, you know, each month, you know, that somebody's paying for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of medication. So to the extent that we can lower the amount of medication needed or improve asthma control. We take a multifaceted approach to housing issues and code violations. We do a lot of direct advocacy with landlords. 10% of the families, households get referred to inspectional services for code violations. I'll speak more about that in a second. And we do, on occasion, again, send out our own IPM contractors, sort of depending on the severity of the infestation, the severity of the asthma, if we need sort of immediate sort of improvements. Breathe Easy at Home is a program through the Inspectional Services and Boston Public Health Commission. It's so healthcare providers can directly refer a child or an adult to Inspectional Services if they suspect or know that there are asthma triggers in the home that are code violations. So if you are talking to your patient in the office and you hear that they have mice and their asthma has been poorly controlled, you can go on the web and put this referral into place. And then as the inspector goes out, then the provider also gets updates emailed back to them. So it's a very wonderful system, and it's really, you know, when there are violations, you know, inspectional services can come down with, you know, enforcement rather than us sort of just, you know, kindly asking for the landlords to please exterminate. And so, again, as you can see, mice is the number one problem. 70% of the households we referred had mouse infestations, and then, you know, in descending order, mold, cockroaches, other structural problems. And most families had at least two or more code violations at the time of inspection. When I went through to look at the outcomes, you know, sometimes it's hard to close the circle, but 42% of the violations were clearly documented as corrected. Sometimes people move or the inspector doesn't get back in, so you don't necessarily know the final outcome. So just to give you a flavor of the kind of results we've had from the whole, you know, comprehensive asthma program, we've had a 64% decrease at 12 months in emergency department visits and a 79% decrease at 12 months for hospitalizations related to asthma. And also significant decreases in any missed school or days for children, 41% are any missed days for parents at work. And then we've also done some cost analysis and have a return on investment for the program of 1.46. And then if you add in the missed work days and school days, a social return on investment of 1.73. So there's a strong business case for these programs. Additional, you know, at the more system level and capacity building, we are part of a home visit collaborative in Boston. Actually, Boston's sort of rich in agencies doing asthma home visiting, but, you know, trying to do it in a more standardized, coordinated way. So we've been meeting for almost 3 years now and have come up with a standardized protocol. We're aiming towards a centralized referral system through the Boston Public Health Commission, and then, you know, it gives us the ability, depending on the family, you know, primary language to, you know, for the commission to, you know, sort of direct that referral to the appropriate agency. These are home visits primarily done by community health workers and have been, you know, have been very successful in doing this kind of work. We're collecting data. Again, all of us are using the same data collection systems now, and we're collecting it on netbooks in the home, and so then we can combine all of our data and evaluate it, and hopefully give our wonderful outcomes, show them to the payers so that we can finally get them to pay for these services. And then Boston Healthy Homes and Schools Collaborative and Massachusetts Asthma Action Partnership, other you know, advocacy groups that we work with to promote strategies for creating healthy homes, schools, and childcare centers. And in terms of the healthy housing committees, working on strengthening the state sanitary code, promoting smoke-free housing and integrated pest management, and working with developers of affordable housing around green and asthma-friendly housing. You know, as I don't know if it's a limitation, we can't quite sort out, you know, the impact of any particular thing. People ask, well, you know, what is the vacuum added? You know, you can't really, it's a comprehensive program, it's not randomized, but this is, you know, these comprehensive programs clearly are making a difference. And we've, you know, in the course of pulling this together, realized that some of our data collection for outcomes of the interventions is not quite as tight as it should be. And so in conclusion, identification, education, and remediation of home environmental triggers as part of a comprehensive asthma program can contribute to significant reductions in asthma symptoms. Collaboration with inspectional services adds significantly to resolution of housing code violations, and housing conditions need to be addressed on a larger scale through policies that address healthy housing. And this is our family advisory board and part of our staff. So, thank you.